Any other questions?
Yeah, I'm also interested, what was the reception of your music? Who were your fans, most of all?
Was there a reception? Were there fans? Sometimes, it's the classic Jesus line of a prophet is never recognized by his fellow citizens. So no, there wasn't a huge amount of support from, we were not taken very seriously by our friends. When the Umbrellas of Cherbourg started, and we were getting quite serious with the Umbrellas. So forget about the band with Lech. That was always considered a joke by the entire paraffia and everything else. But when the Umbrellas of Cherbourg started, people were starting to take us more seriously. Tony Pivovarsky's brother, John Pivovarsky, was a bit of a businessman and an entrepreneur. And he heard us and he thought, ooh, there could be something in this. And he asked us, would we like to have a manager? And we agreed that we would. So he encouraged us. He helped us to organize demo tapes and things like that. And he would take these demo tapes to places, help us with organizing gigs. And at some point in time, he was going to recording to record labels. And so touting us as a band. And he did get some interest from Virgin Records. But then we broke up, which did not help. And also by that point in time, they had decided to throw me out of a band. So, because I was unpredictable in my bass playing and I didn't like being on stage and was very self-conscious and everything else. So they decided that they were going to get another bass player, but they never found another bass player. We split up after that. We were still very, very good friends, but I continued playing with them. We even played a gig at the 101 Club in Clapham Junction, which was at that point in time a very famous venue where quite mid-range named bands like Young Marble Giants played there, The Cure played there, lots of bands played there. And it was quite a named venue, and we managed to play a support spot there. And that was the last gig we did, which went down very, very well, and everybody really, really liked it. But after that, we split up. And then also Wojtek Bogdanovich, we were getting Wojtek very interested in bands. Same with Jasz Bui. Every Wednesday or Thursday, we'd all go to the Two Brewers pub in Clapham Junction, Clapham Common, because there would be bands there that we all liked. So at first there was a band called Live Wire there. Then we would go and see Sad Amongst Strangers, which was very, very popular. And Wojtek was very much into filming there. In fact, that's what his career ended up being, but he became a producer and doing movies for basically promotional films and things like that. And he'd set up camera equipment and video this band and things like that. And he also videotaped us doing a video for our potential single, which was going to be Private Eye. Another meeting point for the mortgage of Paraffia was the Two Brewers. So the Knopf sisters would turn up, Czechanowicze would turn up, Bogdanowicze were all there, Pivovarsy were there, Jasz Bujwid was there, Baczareli, Eddie Sokołowski, basically the młodzie were all turning up to these gigs and everything else. Like I said, music was a very, very strong thing to bond us, to keep us all together. That was lots and lots of fun. But Nobody really took us that serious. So once, to be honest, we as a band, we didn't really want recognition amongst our compatriots. What we wanted was recognition amongst the young people who knew their music in the area. We didn't matter to us who they were, as long as they liked us. And the same thing with Hysteria Ward. Hysteria Ward were, our singer Lou was an excellent anarcho-punk and very, very much influenced by Crass and bands like that. And so with Hysteria Ward, we went in, Lou took us in a very different direction. So we started getting a bit more gothic in the style of music. And we were all influenced by Susie and the Banshees as well. So and of course, The Cure and things. And that took us in another direction. So Hysteria Ward became rather that. If you listen to some of the early music, so I've got tapes from some of the gigs, some of the songs were very... very depressing and things like that. And at that point in time, I was going out with a girl, Basha Skutnitska, and I decided I prefer to spend my time with her rather with a band, so I quit the band. And so the Hysteria Ward continued for about another year and a half without me, and then they broke up as well. Only to reform, we reformed in 1990 under the, we were asked to do a couple of gigs to support the charity. And so Lou contacted us and said, well, because we were still socially, we did meet up with Lou. We all met up a lot together, even though we didn't play music together very much. We all agreed, yeah, fine, as long as we do any new material. We don't do any of the old songs, we only do new songs. So so we agreed to this. So in this must have been 92 or 93, and so we played two festivals for supporting the mentally ill, and that rekindled things. And this is where we produced songs like Owl Walk, which you can also listen to on YouTube, and As Was, which you can also listen to on YouTube, all these things. So this continued for maybe 6 months, then we again split up and went our separate ways again, and then it rekindled again by being asked to play at another lot of charity gigs and everything else. And we did both. And this kept on happening, but we keep on reforming. So we in 2014, I think it was, we played in Paris. We've done quite a few gigs and being invited in London to do special gigs at the Latchmere and other places, and Dublin Castle in Camden Town, that was a good one. So the band kind of heats up, cools down. We even produced a vinyl LP, which was lovely. So I can show my friends, look, I'm on an LP. So that's, I always wanted to be on vinyl and succeeded in that as well. And basically, we always had the Parafia to fall back on. But one thing you got to bear in mind about the Parafia was that at this point in time, the Parafia was very, very, as I said at the beginning, very conservative. But our parents and all the parents, of course, wanted to encourage us to go there. So therefore, thankfully, we had Chatkovkar there, which brought which basically every Thursday night after their training sessions, they'd end up in a Polish club. So we'd have a chance to chat with them. Then there was Odlen, have a dance group. They'd always, after dancing, end up in the Polish club. It was all incestuous because, of course, so I had to be, my Richard forced me to join the volleyball club because I was told and everything. And so I did play volleyball with the team for a while and everything else, but I was rubbish at it. And I'd go to quite a few of the tournaments. I did go to the tournaments in Holland and Belgium, and basically it's just a drink fest. We'd end up just drinking and drinking and drinking. But it was lots and lots of fun. And also with Odlenta, Basia Klimas needed a minimum number of people in the dance troupe to have a right to a subsidised rate at the school where she did the dance lessons. So I joined the dance group, so did Tony Pivovarski, Jasz Bujewicz, Lech Bogdanowicz, plus the older ones and everything else. So we did participate in that as well. So it was all very clear. So we mixed and melded and involved ourselves in each other's interests and everything else, which was one of the wonderful things about the Baratia, in that you had this melting pot that you could do all these different things. And there were lots and lots of creative young people, like Wojtek Bogdanowicz, which was very, very creative. It must have been about 1976, when they decided to make a movie called Backlash, based on a comic, a DC comic, a cowboy comic. For this, they decided Wojtek wanted to make a movie. So he kind of built up a script along the lines of a Backlash story. But what part of it is a cemetery scene. So Wojtek decided, okay, we're going to do the cemetery scene at that famous cemetery up in North London. It's closed down, all dilapidated cemetery, but at that point in time in 76, he could get into very, very easily, not a problem. The gates were off their hinges. It wasn't being looked after at all at that point in time. It's now become whole, you know, it's all locked up, and it's a place of special scenic beauty and kept in pristine condition now. But in those days, you could go there. So Richard Michael, Przemek Bogdanowicz, Wojtek Bogdanowicz, Lech Bogdanowicz, I didn't go. They brought a coffin and took it in a tube up to Hampstead to do the filming of carrying the coffin through the cemetery. And so they had loads of fun carrying this coffin into a tube train, going on a tube journey, doing this film and everything else. And that was a wonderful thing about the youth in those days. We could do whatever we wanted to. It was a wonderful time. It wasn't very expensive to do this travelling, and nobody seemed to be bothered by it. So it was lots and lots of fun. So Wojtek made this film called Backlash. It got played at one of the Hadzerskie Christmas, Shinchmikol, I think, Christmas time. And their father, Pan Stefan Bogdanowicz, thought it was a good idea to do something along those lines. Maybe next year you could do a panto. So next year they did do a panto. They did Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Which also went down a storm. It was hilariously funny. Script written by Wojtek Bogdanowicz, I believe, and that went down very, very well. And then a couple of years later, we decided to do Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, which became the big one, the big panto. Quite a bit of money got put into it. We myself, Hania Walczowska, and Jasz Bui, we even spent money for big canvases for backdrops, and we painted backdrops and everything else. Everybody made their own costumes. I was a smock, the dragon in it. Basically, the whole Basia Skutnicka ended up being a fairy. It was all written by Eddie Dia, who also is musical, who also formed a band. At that point in time, he wrote the thing, and he also directed it. Wojtek produced it and held things together and controlled the funds. And that went down a storm with the kids. That was an absolutely brilliant panto. But by that point in time, we were all going off to university. We're all sort of all the girls in the parafia, 90% of them decided if they go off to university, we're not going to stay in London. We're going to go into university in Birmingham or Scotland or all over the place, but not stay in our parafia. And the boys were being lazy. Most of the boys decided we're staying, you know, we'll do our university degrees in London and everything else. Quite a lot of marriages did form from the parafia. Like my eldest brother Michael fell in love with Basia Żarków and Adam Kondziela and married Ewa Błaszczak and so on and so forth. So we did stay rather insular that way, but we did marry because we grew up with and things quite a lot. Most of us, practically all of us, are married Polish girls. So, for instance, my wife, Agnieszka, she's Polish from Poland, which is really weird because I didn't like anything to do with Poland. I didn't really speak that brilliant Polish, and now I'm married to a woman where I've got to speak Polish in a heck of a lot because whenever we go off to Poland, her family don't speak English, so I've got to speak Polish. So my Polish has improved in leaps and bounds. It's a rarity where one of us hasn't married a Polish girl. So Bogdan married Joasia. We all had kind of relationships with girlfriends who weren't Polish at some stage in time, but we all seem to end up with marrying Polish girls. But that didn't help us stay in the community. All our parents did really, really well. All our parents managed to buy their own houses, upper working class to lower middle class or something along that line. All the children had a good stepping board to a better life. And most of them decided to buy property outside of the Banham area. And because of that, the parafia started to fall apart. But this is also the time when a lot more Polacy started to come to England because of better jobs, better income, and quite a lot of them decided to come here, make money, buy land in Poland, go back to Poland. But they came here, fell in love here, and then decided to stay here. And this rebuilt the parafia. Without them, I don't think the Polish White Eagle Club would still exist. Basically, they were the new pillar holding up the parafia. We became inconsequential. We did not involve ourselves in very much. Some of us still involve ourselves quite deeply, especially in the Harcerstwo. So the Banasiaki are involved in Harcerstwo, but also involved in Polska Szkoła, and Basia Klimas holds things together as well, so that quite a lot of So like the Bogdanovich had decided to, well, Wojtek decided, he lives in this area still. Przemek, the oldest brother, lives in North London and doesn't involve himself at all in the parish. My oldest brother, Michael, lives close to me here in South Purley, but doesn't involve himself in the parish. Most of the older, my generation, so the baby boomers, totally wash their hands of things. It's only a few, like Wojtek Bogdanowicz, Maciek Czuksa, and a few others, a handful, still involved themselves in the Polish parafia. Of course, Basia Klimas, that's by the by, that's dancing, that's something else completely. If it wasn't for this new modern pokolenie, the new generation that came over from Poland, supporting, doing basically exactly the same thing that our parents did. They rebuilt the Polish parish. They rebuilt the Polish community. They keep the church more than afloat. And through them, everything has restabilized and rebuilt. But it's no longer. Our parents built that all, so it was a present, it was there for us. And we decided to discard it. Thankfully, the next immigrati that came over have stabilized it all and made it all, that it's still there for potentially another generation. Same with a Polish school, I'd say 50% of the children from, and maybe more, are from the immigrati, because of course they settled down here, bought houses here, and keep the post school going, and it's wonderful. But we don't really invite. So I've not been to the Polish club for since Lech Bogdanowicz's funeral, I think. The Stipa, what a Stipa! 300 people. It was a party. It wasn't a stipper. And that was about the last time I'd been there, I think, because we don't, especially with coronavirus, we don't socialise anymore at the moment, which doesn't help matters as well. But we do stay in touch through the medium of the telephoning and emailing and using other media and things.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's very interesting. And what are your memories about Poland from 70s, 80s? Did you visit Poland at all?
Not very often. My first memories of Poland are back in the 60s. In that my parents would, the first time my parents took us to Poland must have been about 1964. I was 5 years old. And we drove all the way to Poland. My dad managed to organise a visa for us to go to Poland and everything else. So the whole family, so about six people in the car. We went to visit my grandmother. My grandfather died during the Second World War. He died in Tobruk, I believe, or something, somewhere in the desert, fighting part of the desert campaign. We went to visit my mother, grandmother, who lived out just outside of Toruń in the north of Poland, in the countryside. The thing I remember is that there's no tarmac road there, it's a dirt track. I remember going with my sister and brother to collect the milk. So the milk was on top of a milk cart led by a horse, a big metal pot full of milk. And you'd go there with a menashka or something like that, and they'd pour the milk into your menashka. You'd pay them the money and take the milk away. And this is unpasteurized milk, which you of course would have to then boil and everything else. And I also remember walking into the cold room where we'd hang up for things. And my grandmother wanted to make a special dinner of pheasant for us. And like there were pheasants hanging there still with their feathers unplucked and everything. And you could see the maggots on it. And you think, I'm not eating that. So that strange how you remember certain things. I was only about 5, maybe coming on to 6 years old or something like that then. So I was quite young. And then again, we went to Poland about 68, the second time. Then I went in 1974. And 74, it was just for boys. So it was myself, my father, again, we drove. So it was me, Richard, Michael, and Przemek Bogdanowicz, the oldest of the Bogdanowicz brothers. So we went there by car. And once we got into the Polish border, Michał and Przemek split up from us. They went their own separate ways. And rather than my dad taking us to my grand's, what dad took us to Jantor, close to Hel, on the spit to the north. There was a cousin of dad's who was staying there. And she had this holiday rental. So we stayed with her for a week. Just myself and Richard. So I was 13, 14, something like that. Richard was 14, 15. And we had a great time. So basically it was lovely and sunny, so we could go swimming every day and everything else. And we had funds to buy whatever we want. But even by then, in 1973, 74, there wasn't a vast amount of stuff that you could buy. And we do remember buying Sporty, a cigarette, because it's dirt cheap and we didn't know what else to do. And you couldn't smoke them. They were just awful. They were the worst cigarettes I have ever come across in my life. But we had the money, so we could, in those days, there were those sellers of carbonated water, sparkling water, but you know, you pour syrup into it and they'd top it up with fizzy water. And so we used to drink a lot of that. And there was, we managed to find some really nice pub omelette, you know, milk stout, basically milk stout beer, and which is very sweet and not terribly to our taste. But we you see, at 13, 14, we were already drinking beer. Well, I was already seeing bands by then, so it was a weird time. But my memories on the whole of Poland, I was very much impressed on the whole. So the Polish people impressed me. I remember it being starting a bit stifled, because I remember on Hel, you couldn't get to Hel at that point in time because it was all fenced off because of the army and everything else. Because we'd walk along the beach from Jantor as far as we could go and everything else, and there you could walk for miles and miles and miles. And then you catch a quick little train on the way back with a central line kind of train thing. And I do remember the guard posts and people with machine guns and things like that. And so you constantly felt this threat in Poland, but there, you know, that you're well aware it's not the West. It did not feel like the West in any way, shape or form. And did I feel at home in Poland? I felt comfortable, but would I have wanted to live there? No. It was nice to visit and everything else, but I felt no affinity with Poland or anything like that. The affinity came later, in the 2000s, when I would go there with my wife, and especially in the early 21st century. I was seriously considering, thinking, oh, this would be a wonderful place maybe to retire in. But things have gone down a little bit since then. And what with COVID, who knows what the future will hold in store? We don't even know whether we'll be able to go to Poland this year at all.